You're listening to the Discover You Life podcast. Through conversations with pretty cool Muslims, people of Dua, of Ihsan, people who found a way to walk their dreams with Islamic excellence, we take you on a path of discovery. This is the podcast where you discover you. Let's begin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad abdika wa nabiyyika wa rasulika nabiyyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome. My name is Razia Hamidi. I'm the CEO of Discover You. And I'm so excited, alhamdulillah, to kick off the launch of our three-day Imperfect Parents Raising Nation Builders challenge that we have next week, inshallah. And this is a webinar to, alhamdulillah, give you a taste of what we are about, alhamdulillah, the importance of having these kind of conversations through the only lens that matters, which is our deen, and through the perspective that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. So alhamdulillah, today's webinar is called Motherhood in the Sight of Allah and How the Quran Speaks to Moms. And so alhamdulillah, this is about taking that narrative and seeing yourself in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy and knowledge, knows the gut-wrenching pain that a mother has to go through to protect, sacrifice her own desires and raise her child. And alhamdulillah, He treats them in a certain way like no other, right? Like when we talk about elevation and alhamdulillah comfort, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us that in the Quran. Inshallah, today you're going to get a dose of that. So our wonderful speaker that we have is Ustada Thania Zubair, and she's mashallah an instructor of the Al-Maghrib Institute, an instructor of the Al-Huda Institute. She's also mashallah a speaker. She's, alhamdulillah, someone that we've greatly benefited from and just brings so much light and inspiration. May Allah always protect you. And we're always blessed when we can have her on for a webinar and alhamdulillah benefit from her knowledge. And this conversation, I know what's going to be exciting about is you're getting someone who is a mom. She's in there in the trenches with you, very much living the experience. It's not, speaking from like a disassociation or like here's the theory, but like, she's in it. And so alhamdulillah, you're going to get, I think, a dose of some really practical alhamdulillah experience as well from that. So jazakallah khair, Ustada Thania. Inshallah, I will hand it over to you and let's kick it off.
Wa iyaki, jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with all of my dear sisters today. Alhamdulillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Motherhood is a blessing and it's also a huge trial, a huge responsibility, a test. And there is, of course, times when you feel so blessed and so overjoyed and so filled with positive emotion. And then there are times when you feel completely broken. You feel completely desperate. You feel like a complete failure, subhanAllah. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in His book, guides us to everything that we are in need of knowing. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. We're not just asking for the path of or the way of ritual worship, certain rituals that we can perform in order to be able to enter paradise. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in this journey of life, so that in everything that we do and in all the choices that we make, we do what is actually pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And motherhood is such that you're always making decisions, right? You're always making decisions as to how to talk to your child, how to provide for your child, what to do for your child, how to discipline your child, how to talk to them, how to not talk to them. You're always making these decisions. And if we were to, if we were to be guided by just our desire, all right, or just our intuition, we would make a lot of mistakes. One is that our actions are led by just what we think or what we feel is right. And the other is that we look to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. so that whatever big or small things we do in this journey, they are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're also steps that are taking to success, inshallah. So there are, of course, many things that we can learn about when it comes to motherhood from the Quran. I want to talk about five things today, inshallah, if time allows, inshallah. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that motherhood is something that is difficult. And there's no other way to put it. There's no other way to say it. Motherhood is simply hard. There are only two who know the difficulty that a mother endures. And those two are who? Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who created the mother, and the one who gives her her portion of difficulty and hardship in this journey. And the other is, the second is the mother herself. Therefore, we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs all people about the hardship that a mother endures during pregnancy, during birth, and also during lactation while she's nursing her child. And he makes this the very reason for her children to do ihsan towards her, to treat her kindly. Meaning, if this is all that she has done for her children, that she simply just gave birth to them and she just nursed her children, then this is enough reason for them to do ihsan towards her, to treat her kindly, and to take good care of her. In Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, that we have enjoined upon man care for his parents. Why? What's the reason? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the reason, that his mother carried him, increasing her in weakness upon weakness. وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. And wahn is weakness in the body because of which a person feels broken in energy, meaning they feel a loss of strength. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just say wahn, that she experiences some kind of weakness. No, it's wahn ala wahn, weakness upon weakness. And At-Tabari mentions that this means darf ala darf, meaning she experiences her own weakness, and along with that, the weakness of her child as well, right? Qatada mentions that this is juhdan ala juhd, meaning struggle upon struggle. There's constant struggle, right? There's constant difficulty that a mother experiences in giving birth to her children and also in looking after them. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا, that we have enjoined upon man to his parents good treatment. Why? What is the reason? The reason is that his mother carried him with hardship and gave birth to him with hardship. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. And كُرْه is when someone is forced to take on something that is completely against their will, all right? Meaning they would never choose that for themselves. It's just given to them. And they unwillingly accept it, all right? And why is it that they unwillingly accept it? Because it's incredibly hard. It's very, very difficult. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. Same word, كُرْه. That fighting, battle has been decreed on you, O Muslims, and it is something that you find incredibly hard. You don't have a choice. And just like that, a mother never chooses, right, day-long nausea during her pregnancy. She doesn't choose all the pain and the difficulty that she's going to endure through days and nights of pregnancy, and then childbirth, and then the entire period of nursing. So we see that in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy towards the mother is evident, right? And so the hardship that a mother endures can never be minimized. It can never be ignored. And this is the reason why Allah Azza wa Jal has given the mother three rights over the father. For the fact that she alone carries the child during pregnancy, for the fact that she alone gives birth to the child, all right, nobody shares that pain with her. And then also for the lactation, for the entire period of nursing. So this means that do not let anyone tell you, all right, that motherhood is easy. Don't let anyone gaslight you into believing that motherhood is not difficult, all right, or that it's no big deal, because women all over the world get pregnant, they give birth, they nurse their children, and you know what? Deal with it. Just because something is common, it doesn't mean that it is easy. No one woman even understands and knows the difficulty that another woman goes through during this entire process. So what does this mean for us then? That when motherhood is hard and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is telling us that it is hard, what does that mean for us? This means that first and foremost, be kind to yourself. Do not be harsh to yourself. Don't say to yourself that, oh, you're such a weakling, you're such a failure if you find motherhood hard. Everyone does it, and they do it with such a brave face, and they do it so well. What is wrong with you? No, be kind to yourself. This stuff is simply difficult. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is difficult, who are we to say that it is not difficult? Another thing is that take good care of yourself, right? Physically, mentally, emotionally. Why? So that you can actually take care of your children. If you don't look after yourself, how are you going to be able to look after your children? Another thing is that expect reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla, because He is the one who decrees this hardship, right? You don't choose it. You don't choose the difficulty that you endure in the days and the nights and in the months and the weeks of pregnancy. You don't choose that. You don't choose the difficulty that your toddler shows, right? You don't choose all the drama that your teenagers bring to you, or, you know, to your household every day, right? You don't choose that. This is a package that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, right? So when He has decreed it, that means that expect reward from Allah Azza wa Jal over every difficulty that you face, that you experience in this journey, right? He is the one who decrees the hardship, and He is the one who rewards a great deal to the one who is patient with the hardship. And also know that any difficulty that you experience during this journey, remember that every difficulty has its set fixed time, meaning it's not going to last forever. All right. It will pass, because in the verses that I just mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. All right. That carrying the child and then nursing the child takes 30 months. So there is a time limit, right? So just like that, every difficult phase that you endure when raising your children, when looking after your children, know that this phase is not going to continue on forever. It has a set time, all right? So be patient and hold on tight. You can do this, inshallah. Another thing I want to talk about is, the second thing I want to talk about is that Allah Azza wa Jal is the giver of children, all right? We don't decide that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides what to give us, when to give us, how to give us, in whatever circumstances that He wants to give us children in. We don't get to choose all of this, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. That Allah is the one who owns the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He creates whatever He wills, and He gifts female children to whomever He wants, and He gifts male children to whomever that He wants. The thing is that you can design your house, all right? You can design your car. You can even select the specific, you know, details of, you know, for example, a computer that you're buying, right? Or the room that you are setting up. You have a lot of autonomy over these things. But when it comes to your children, what is it that you get to decide? Nothing. You don't even get to decide the gender of the child. You don't get to decide the physical features of the child. You don't get to decide the disposition of the child. You don't get to decide any, you know, struggles that they will experience in their life. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides for you, right? So when you look at the stories that are mentioned in the Quran, we see, for example, that Musa alayhi salam was born during Fir'aun's murder rampage, right? When Fir'aun was basically going and killing babies. That is when Musa alayhi salam was born. Was that an ideal time to have children? No way. But that is what Allah decreed, right? We see that the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, she expected that she would have a boy whom she would, you know, dedicate for the cause of Allah. And this son of hers would live in Baytul Maqdis and he would worship Allah over there and so on and so forth. But what happened? Did she have a boy? No, she had a girl. Allahu Akbar. Then we see Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam alayhi salam was not ready to be a mother at all. That was something that, you know, she probably never even thought about because she was not even married, right? And what happened? She's given the good the news that she's going to be the mother to Isa alayhi salam. So you don't get to decide all of these things with regard to your children. What is our job? Our job is that we accept whatever children Allah gives us, when He gives them to us, and through whatever means He gives them to us, and in whatever circumstances He gives them to us, because He is the giver. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of children, what does that mean? That means that first of all, we must accept our children the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them. Accept them. All right. Whether that means accepting the fact that they are neurodiverse, accepting their gender. I mean, you expected that you would have a boy, you have a girl, or you wanted a girl, you have a boy. All right. Accepting the fact that they have certain food allergies, accepting the fact that they have a certain learning disability, accepting the fact that they have certain social struggles. All right. Do not beat yourself up over it. That why did this happen to me? And this is all my fault. If only I had avoided eating nuts during my pregnancy, perhaps my child would not be allergic to nuts. No, this is not something that you have power over. This is not something that you have control over. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. So accept your children the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them and the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to you. Sometimes we keep thinking, I wish I had my children when I was younger. Or I wish I did not have my children when I was younger. I wish I did not have my children early on in my marriage. I mean, there's no need to dwell on your past and to wish that things had happened differently. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that a life should be born, then it is born. Yes, you take your, you know, precautions, etc. You do your planning to the best of your ability. But at the end of the day, the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you your children, all right? And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you as your children, our job is to accept them the way that they are. Our job is to accept this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the way that the gift is. Another important thing is that we should have ambitions and goals for our children, regardless of how they are, right? We see, for example, that the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, she had a certain goal for her child, right? She said that, رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا. That, oh my Lord, I dedicate this child of mine to you, whatever that is in my womb, I dedicate my child to you, meaning to your service, all right? And this child will be muharrar. Muharrar means someone who is dedicated to the worship of Allah, all right? Someone who is set free from the shackles of the world, meaning they're not obligated to, they're not expected to, you know, make a living and, you know, go and work and then provide for people. No, their job is to just dedicate themselves 100% to the worship of Allah. And this is something that was common in the Bani Israel, all right? So this woman said that, I want my child to be muharrar, all right? Now what happens when she gives birth? She has a daughter, she has a girl. So she says, Rabbi inni wadartuha untha. Oh my Lord, I have given birth to a female, all right? She's shocked. But then does she give up on her dreams and her goals and her ambitions for her child? No way. She says, Wallahu a'lamu bima wadartu, in one recitation, that Allah knows best of what I have given birth to. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, and the male is not like the female. And then she says, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ, I name her Maryam. She gives her such a beautiful name. And you know, Maryam means عَابِدَة, meaning the one who is a worshiper of her Lord. Look at the name that she gives her. She wanted her child to be someone who was dedicated to the worship of Allah. And she does not give up on her goals and her dreams just because a child was different from what she expected the child to be. She still had some ambitions and some goals. All right? And وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. She asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect her children, right? To protect her daughter and then also the children of her daughter. So have ambitions and goals for your children, regardless of who they are, how they are, when they're born, have some goals. And the thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you children, He is giving you the privilege of raising the next generation of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to do this. You get to do this. This is a privilege. This, yani, it's not a burden that you should resent. This is a privilege. You get to do this. Subhanallah. Another, the third thing I want to talk about is that as mothers, as a mother, you are essentially planting a garden, all right? And this is how you should view looking after your children, raising your children, that you are essentially planting a garden. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described his grandchildren as rayhanatan, meaning two fragrant, beautiful flowers, okay? And in the Quran also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Maryam, how when she was born and then, you know, her mother, you know, she continued with her ambition and her goal for her child. And she took her to Baytul Maqdis. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says over there that فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her and caused her to grow a beautiful growing, nabatan hasanan. Nabat is actually plants, all right? It's the growing of plants. And ambata, meaning he caused her to grow like plants grow. And these words, what they show us is that looking after children, raising children is essentially like what? Like looking after plants, all right? Planting a garden. Now, if you think about it, planting a garden, looking after plants, what does that require on your part? It requires, of course, dedication on your part, right? It requires attention on your part. It requires curiosity on your part. It requires gentleness and care and a lot of work on your part. But before all of this, what is essential is knowledge. You must know about what you are doing, right? You must know about the different characteristics of the plants that you want to grow, right? Do they require full sun or full shade, or part sun or part shade, right? What kind of soil do they need? What kind of, how much water do they need? How frequently do they need water? You need to know all of these things. And just like that, when it comes to your children, you can't just assume that you can take care of child number A the same way as you take care of child B. No, your older child is not the same as your younger child. Your younger child is not the exact copy of your older one. They're two completely different children with completely different needs, with completely different characteristics. And just as you learn about one child, all right, and over time you see this works, this doesn't work, this is what they like, this is what they don't like, this is what their needs are, all right? just like that, you also need to invest in your second child and figure out what works for them. So knowledge is necessary. And if there's ever a time where you feel stuck, like, for example, if you have, you know, a plant in your backyard and it's, you know, you're watering it, you are pruning it, you are providing it the right soil, you are doing whatever you think you should be doing, whatever you know you should be doing, and still the plant is not flowering. What are you going to do? Are you just going to give up on that plant? That's what many people do. But people who are truly passionate, right, who care, what will they do? They will ask. They will learn. They will read. They will go to a nursery probably, right? Show a picture of that plant to someone, to some expert, and then ask them. And sometimes all you need to do is just make a small change. That is it. That's it. I remember that there were these plants in our garden that were simply not growing, okay? Not flowering. And they were supposed to grow and flower every year. And we couldn't figure out what was wrong. We were giving water, all right? The soil was good, mashallah. Everything was there. It's not growing flowers. Until we found out that we're supposed to prune the plant. And pruning the plant means you have to cut it. You have to cut it so that it grows. So you can't just assume that just because you have children, you know what you're doing. No. You must have that humility in acknowledging that I don't know. Ya Rab, I feel lost. Ya Rab, I don't know what to do. Right? And then you learn. You ask people who know. You ask people who can help. And there's so many books out there, so many programs out there, so many workshops out there, so many resources out there that we can benefit from in order to improve our parenting, in order to give our children what they need. Right? Another thing about plants is that you don't make plants grow and you don't force them to grow. Your job is to provide and to nurture, right? To be present, to be attentive. And what's going to happen? The plant will grow in its own way, at its own time. Sometimes, you know, a mistake we make is that we think that our children are like puppets in our hands, right? And so we want them to do this, and this is what they should do. We want them to do that, and that is what they do. They're not puppets in our hands. They're not in our control. We don't own our children. No, we only have power over ourselves. And even that, so many times we feel weak before our own selves. Then how do we think that we can just control our children and make them do whatever we want them to do? No, it doesn't work like that. We must give our children the right environment, right? The right resources, and then allow them the space and the time to grow in their own way. And our job is to provide them with a good environment. In the same verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Maryam under the care of Zakariya alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah. And what this shows us is that as mothers, we cannot be, and we are not, the only teachers of our children. Sometimes that's what we want to do. We want everyone else to just go away, and we want to be the only teacher, the only influence on our children. Not going to work like that. Your children need people other than you. They need to see a face other than yours. As much as they love you, they need time away from you as well. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. And especially someone who can provide them what you are not able to provide them. Zakariya alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. Maryam was under his care. Why? So that she would learn not just from what he taught, but also from his actions. Also from his actions. So you must provide your children good examples to follow, right? Good role models. You can't, you know, shelter them completely from the world thinking that you're just going to provide them everything. Another thing about plants is that you cannot take full credit, all right, for the growth of your plants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over here, وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا. Allah is the one who caused her to grow. And that is it. Allah is the one who causes people to grow. We don't. We put in the effort with his tawfiq, right, with his help, And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brings out the results. And even when it comes to the results, they're never in our control. You could do your very, very best to, you know, take care of your plants, for example, to provide them the best soil, to water them regularly, to ensure that there's no, you know, weeds or nothing that could that could impact their health and well-being. But then what happens? The weather changes, a storm, right? Or something like that, a tornado, or some kind of invasive bug. And the result is never in your control. It's never in your hand. It is entirely in the hand of Allah Azza wa Jal. The fourth thing I want to talk about is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. You see, as a mother, and especially as a mother, there are certain burdens of motherhood that you have to carry entirely on your own. There is no other human being who could share that burden with you, or who could take that away from you, right? Like, for example, and there are many things that other people can share with you, right? Like, for example, when it comes to changing a baby's diaper, you don't have to do it. Somebody else can do it. When it comes to feeding your children, you don't have to do it. Somebody else can do it, right? When it comes to preparing food for your children, you don't have to do it. You could hire help for that. When it comes to dropping them to school, picking them up, teaching them, you don't have to do it. You could hire someone else for that. But there are certain pains of motherhood that literally you have to carry on your own. There's no other human being who can carry them in your place, right? Like, for example, can you hire someone to, you know, birth your child for you, to just make the birthing easy for you? No, you can't. Can you hire someone to nurse your baby for you? Yeah, I mean, that option is there. But if you choose to nurse your child yourself, then you nurse your child every 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever the schedule is, right? And even as your children get older, when it comes to worrying about your children, right, their akhlaq, their salah, their friends, right, their school, etc., you cannot take those worries away from yourself, right? Your children need you. They depend on you. They want you. And you cannot replace you with someone else, right? In many matters. In many matters you can, but in many matters you cannot. And when you see that you are constantly needed by your children, or there are certain difficulties that you have to endure literally on your own, then you feel very weak in those situations, but know that you do not have to be alone in carrying these burdens, because your Lord Allah Azza wa Jal is with you. And this is where motherhood becomes a means of actually drawing close to Allah, because you feel completely cut off from the people. Nobody can come and rescue you. Nobody can come and take that, you know, make that burden easy for you. Nobody can do that, even if they want to. So who is it that can truly lighten that burden for you, make things easy for you? It is Allah Azza wa Jal. So you get completely disconnected from people, and you get the chance to connect with your Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, we see in the Quran, for example, in the story of the mother of Maryam, the mother of Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ, that we inspired to the mother of Musa alayhi salam that you should nurse your baby. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, then when you are afraid for his life, for his safety, that Fir'aun's people are going to come and kill him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ, then put him in the water, in the river, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي, and do not be afraid and do not be sad, because we're going to return him to you, and we're going to make him a prophet. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised her. And she had to keep this knowledge only with herself, that the child that was discovered in the house of Fir'aun eventually, right, because she put the baby in the box and the box was in the river and it ended up in the house of Fir'aun because the family of Fir'aun found it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا, that the heart of the mother of Musa alayhi salam became empty of all else, meaning she was so afraid and so sad at being separated from her child. And then imagine her fear that her baby is now in the house of Fir'aun. She was trying to save her baby from Fir'aun, and now what happens? Her baby is actually in the house of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In kadat latubati bihi." She was about to disclose this. Disclose what? The fact that that baby was actually her baby. And if she had disclosed that, what would happen? Immediately the baby would be killed and probably she would be killed, right? She would have disclosed it, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا, if we had not firmly tied her heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firmly tied her heart. And so she put her trust in Allah. She continued to believe in the promise of Allah. She continued to have hope in Allah. And what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of that matter completely. That how Musa alayhi salam's life was saved and Fir'aun's wife wanted to adopt him, right? And then they wanted a woman to nurse the baby and they couldn't figure out who would because he kept rejecting every woman that was brought. And then she was brought, right? The mother of Musa alayhi salam was brought to nurse the baby. So imagine her situation. Like, she was so alone in that fear, so alone. She couldn't share that with anyone. She couldn't. But who is it that she put her trust in? In her Lord. And what happened? Her faith increased like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also guided her and took care of her matter. And sometimes what happens is that in the struggles that we especially feel very alone in, we feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forsaken us, that His help is not there. And it's not the case that Allah's help is not there. It is there. We don't get to choose how Allah helps us. Allah helps us in the way that He knows is best for us. You know, for example, Maryam alayhi salam, we learn about her in the Quran that when she was giving birth, she was in so much pain and she was also so afraid. And she was wishing for death, basically. And what happened over there? She was told to shake the tree, right? And then she was told to eat the dates that would fall and to drink water and to, you know, look at her baby and cool her eyes. So imagine there was a time when food was brought to Maryam, right? When she was in Baitul Maqdis. And now food is not being brought to her. She has to shake the tree. Subhanallah. But when it comes to water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a stream to gush forth for her. So the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. We do not get to decide how Allah helps us. He gets to decide how He should help us because He knows what is best for us, right? So when you feel very alone in your struggles, in dealing with your children, you feel so defeated, right? You may feel like Allah's help is not there or that Allah has forsaken you. No, He has not forsaken you. He is there. He is helping you. And those moments when you feel entirely on your own, realize you don't have to be on your own. You must call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and depend on Him and expect the best from Him and cry your heart out before Him and ask Him to guide you. Ask Him to help you. And Allah's help will come for you. The last thing I want to talk about is that as a mother, do not forget Allah. Many women make this mistake where once they have children, their children become the ultimate focus of their lives. And yes, it's good. This is a huge responsibility and you must be very attentive. You must take this matter very, very seriously. But before you are a mother, you are a worshiper of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And you are answerable to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله. That all you who have believed, do not let your properties nor your children distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Don't let your children hinder you from the remembrance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. Wealth and children are an adornment of this life. والباقيات الصالحات. What's going to last is actually good deeds. So don't just give all of yourself to your wealth and your children. Think about yourself also. Prepare something for yourself. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد. O you who have believed, fear Allah and let each soul look at what they have prepared for tomorrow. And then Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those people who forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves. And this is what happens, right? Women tend to put everything as a second, third, fourth priority. Children become the first priority. And then what happens? They also end up forgetting themselves, neglecting themselves. And when we neglect ourselves, we actually do our children a disservice as well. Because we're not the best versions of ourselves. We're not really there to, we're not giving them the best that we can. We're not treating them the way that they deserve to be treated. Because we ourselves are depleted. So your cup, right, needs to be filled. And you fill your cup not by watching TV and not by, just sitting and staring. No, you fill your cup by doing what fulfills the purpose of your life. And that is the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. Doing things to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that fill you spiritually. When you're filled spiritually, then you can be the best version of yourself for your children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us to be the best mothers that we can be for our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our hardships for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our children the best sadaqah jariyah for us. And may Allah also forgive us for our shortcomings towards our children. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rab. Jazakallah khair. Sadatin, yeah, that was so, mashallah, insightful. So many incredible things. Don't hop off, people. I'm going to ask Ustada if we could do a few Q&A to take a couple questions or some that I think are really great in general. Before I do that, though, I just want to, inshallah, remind everyone, first of all, like, we broke Zoom, mashallah. We had 1,000 people on this. So we were streaming on YouTube as well, mashallah, 1,500 people. And that, I think, is a testament to how much women are yearning for these conversations and these kind of spaces. And alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful to be part of an organization where we prioritize and really meet. And I know mashallah, Ustaz Thaymi is part of Al-Huda as well, which prioritizes in serving women and really alhamdulillah, helping you guys connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your journey and specifically here with mother. So I want to just quickly share my screen. Just give me a couple of minutes, you guys, because you're here and you invested your time. You clearly have a need and a yearning for alhamdulillah this topic, and we're going to continue this conversation. And Ustada Thaymiya is definitely going to be back at DU for parenting topics, inshallah. So on Monday, September 25th to the 27th, we have the 3-day Imperfect Parents Raising Nation Builders. So mashallah, the message you heard today from Ustada Thaymiya, we can recognize our weaknesses and our imperfections. That does not mean that we have to downplay the responsibility and downplay, alhamdulillah, what Allah has placed in you. Because if Allah has made you the mother of the children that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you are capable of. And oftentimes on the parenting journey, it's us who become our own block, who tell ourselves limiting stories and don't hold on to the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or feel weak too in those situations. So on Monday, inshallah, we have Ustada Hussein, Sara Sultan, Ustada Yusra Gandil, inshallah, from Monday to Wednesday. It's going to be 11 a.m. Eastern. Go and register and join the challenge. We're going to talk, and I already saw some of the questions. We're going to be talking about and continuing this conversation. How do you manage your internal triggers as a mother? How do you connect with your kids, regardless of the age they're at, right? And Sister Sara Sultan is going to talk about this. So essential. How do we create that connection? Is it just sitting down and playing? Like, what does that look like? And then how to create a spiritually uplifting home. So when Ustada Thaymiya right now finished off on that really important point, filling your cup, how do you do that while not isolating yourself, while alhamdulillah making it part of the culture of your home. So this is the challenge. Alhamdulillah, we are embracing the imperfections. Does not mean we're not striving to do better. We absolutely are, inshallah, as parents. But this is the opportunity that Allah has handed, and you can still raise children that inshallah can be nation builders and go on to do great things. But you've got to, alhamdulillah, give yourself the tools and resources. So join us on Monday. Go register. The link is in the chat. Julie has put it there, inshallah. And I'm going to take some questions from you guys that have been coming into the Q&A box. The one I see that I think is probably going to benefit a lot of people, inshallah, is that the thing is, someone asked, how do I balance my responsibilities and priorities as a Muslim woman who has her children and is trying to work and juggle all of this? What can you say to someone, and I'm sure many people who are kind of in that boat?
I used to think that there's a secret to be able to balance everything. And then I learned that there is none. There's no way to balance everything. It's a constant struggle, right? It's a constant struggle, and you keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana, that, oh, our Lord, do not hold us accountable for when we forget and when we make mistakes. So you are going to fall short. There's going to be days when you've got everything in order, right? Everything's, you know, in place. You're able to balance everything so beautifully. And then there are days when, oh, you're a complete mess. And that's okay. That's fine. You're going to have days that are good, days that are bad, weeks that are good, weeks that are bad. And that's perfectly fine. The main thing is keep getting up, keep striving, and keep, you know, that introspection should be there and see, okay, what is it that I did that caused me to fall apart, right? And how can I do things differently? And you make amends and you move ahead.
I love that. Such a powerful message. I love it. And if people putting in the chat, you know, I'm a mess right now. Embrace the mess. Like, that's just kind of part of it. I think this balance question, I know sometimes when people ask me, and I'm not a mom, but when people ask me, like, yeah, how do you balance this and this? I'm like, if you see me succeeding somewhere, no, I'm failing somewhere else. Like, right now, I don't get to see my friends as much. Like, it's okay. You know, I'm making sacrifices. And I think, inshallah, for moms, it's, you know, accepting, like, you're going to fail in certain parts right now. That's just the chapter of your life that you're in. And inshallah, like, you know, obviously, alhamdulillah, I love this part of relying on dua. And that might take us to the next question, which I saw a few times come up in the chat and in the Q&A. And that's obviously the filling the cup component, right? So a lot of people asking, how do I fill up my cup as a mother? And if I can add in to this part of the question, because I think it's going to be really important, helping moms see their role, not separate than their ibadah, but part of it. So when they're filling their cup, it's not like, it's only when I do this, then, you know, I'm filling my cup. Like, they're obviously direct ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to our fire, then obviously our relationship with the Quran. How can we, like, keep doing that? And what will you highlight there? And then merging with, like, the day-to-day tasks when you're changing a diaper or preparing meals, right?
Mm-hmm. So definitely whatever you do as a believer, in a way that is pleasing to Allah, you are, you know, fulfilling your responsibility. You're looking after your children. You're preparing food. You are changing their diapers. You are dropping them to school. You are rewarded for the mundane also, right? As a believer, because you're doing things the right way. Why? In order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You could have done these things differently. You could have not done them. But when you choose to do them, then you are rewarded for that. But as a mother, your ibadah should not just be in cooking or in cleaning or in, you know, looking after your children. You must make time for ritual worship as well and for learning as well, right? Why? Because when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like actual worship, I'm talking about salah, I'm talking about dhikr, I'm talking about the recitation of the Quran. These are actions that, you know, that help us connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? They are the source of barakah in our life. So sometimes what we think is, okay, I'm going to pass on the recitation of the Quran today. Why? Because there's too much to do. And then I'm going to pass on it tomorrow. And then I'm going to pass on it for an entire week and then another week. And the next thing you know, you haven't recited the Quran for months and months. This is not how it should be. The recitation of the Quran is a source of barakah. The reason why you're probably struggling so much is because you're lacking barakah in your life, right? So sometimes what we think is, you know, when everyone's gone, right? Children are at school, or I have my free time, then I'm going to recite. No, recite Quran as you're rocking your baby to sleep. And it's perfectly fine to do that, right? Yeah. While you're working in the kitchen, you can sit down for a few minutes, allow yourself to sit down for a few minutes and recite the Quran right there, right? So you have to make use of these moments that you have. And then also, you know, as a mother, you're so concerned about the growth of your children. They need to learn how to swim. They need to learn how to recite the Quran. They need to learn, you know, another juz of the Quran. They need to go to this class or this program. What about you?
What about you?
You also need to grow in your knowledge. So whatever your circumstances allow you, it could be perhaps once a week class. It could be you know, something that requires more work, something less, but something so that you are constantly growing as a person, right? Because when you're learning, you're also setting that example for your children, that this is something that we continue to do no matter how old we are, no matter what's going on in our lives.
I love that, SubhanAllah. I started our webinar off reminding everyone that if you feel challenged a little bit, like that's a good thing. And I think this question, inshallah, like is about sometimes the real talk that we need. And so I did a focus group with mom. So I don't want you guys to think that I'm just pulling this out of a hat. I did a focus group with mom and we had some honest conversations and I asked them, how much time do you feel like, you know, you would need in the day to read Quran? Like what's your challenges right now? Obviously people are like, you know, I don't have time. I feel like I'm running from this and that and that. And then I said, well, you know, how much do you spend on your phone? Like, let's be honest. And all of them, you know, alhamdulillah, we were in a safe space. And they were like, I do spend a good chunk of like 10, 15 minutes while I'll pull away and I'll just be mindlessly scrolling. So I just want to share a piece of research that might be beneficial, inshallah, for people to connect with. They did research with physicians when they were in between patients. They tracked the one group who in between like 10, 15 minute windows they'd have between patients would go through and mindlessly scroll versus the other group that they said, when you have 10, 15 minutes downtime, we want you to just sit and try to like do breathing, just, you know, sit, do nothing. Okay. The group that was mindlessly scrolling, their heart rates and stress levels reported higher stress levels and, you know, higher dysregulation versus the group that just sat quietly. So can you imagine if you injected Quran into that? You have 10, 15 minutes, follow your surah, listen to it, recite it, whatever it might be, right? Something dhikr, but you're going to actually feel more recharged. And this is where we have to be honest with ourselves. I'm saying I don't have time. I'm saying I don't have this, but am I really, really like practicing and regulating? And again, like the modeling part is so huge for parents, right? Your kids are watching those small moments where you're just constantly like on the phone. So I just wanted to put that out there because like when I had that conversation with moms, you know, SubhanAllah, it was a moment for them to like really own and recognize like, yeah, I do have those 10 minutes. I can make my Quran habit daily. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu strengthen us. And I want to point out, Ustaz Thamia, you talked about alhamdulillah, the importance of like, you know, having people around us and outside of us and someone, you know, people in the chat, like I don't have a village. You guys, inshallah, this challenge has your village. We have an exclusive Facebook community that's for people that alhamdulillah want to have these conversations, right? It's going to be for you to connect. People do Facebook lives, alhamdulillah, especially as moms, you're going to get to share that positive, alhamdulillah, positive reminders for one another. So when you join, you're going to, inshallah, get to meet your village. And you might be surprised how many people are in your own city and inshallah, you know, people who want to walk this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their motherhood journey. So come and join. We start Monday. Jazakallah khair, Ustaz Thamia. Like, I mean, mashallah, like this was just so incredibly, gave us so much to think about. Alhamdulillah, so much to nourish our soul. So may Allah subhanahu accept from you and strengthen your family. Mashallah. And I can't wait to have you back for this conversation. This is so wonderful.
Barakallah feekum. It was a pleasure to be here. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And we will see you, all of you, on Monday. You're going to get an email and you will get the replay of today. I know so many people asking, it was recorded. So don't worry, inshallah, you can share it with others so they can benefit as well. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.